Now is the time, episode number 4. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to serve our God. Friends, welcome. Today we're going to be talking about Russia. We're also going to be talking about the role of God's Word in our lives, in our hearts, and in our witness. I just recently returned this week from a trip that I took with some of our students from our institute to Russia, which you may have heard about. I know that many people were praying. And first of all, I want to thank everyone for praying, as well as I want to thank a number of people who supported the trip and helped sponsor some of our students so that we could have a successful trip. The Lord really blessed. And in this podcast, I want to share with you a little bit about the trip, a little bit about Russia, some of my impressions of Russia. I'm back now safely home here in Odessa, Ukraine. And that after traveling over 6,000 kilometers in our car, in our van, with some of our students from our institute. It was a long trip, a very long trip. In fact, I added up the hours. I spent just about, well, nearly 100 hours in the car because Russia's huge. It is very huge. But praise the Lord, everything, we were safe. The car ran well, did not have any problems along the way. And in addition to that, it was a huge blessing to those who traveled with me, as well as we were able to do outreach and ministry there in Russia. And so I want to tell you a little bit more about that, but to do that, what I'm going to do is I actually recorded a podcast while I was there. And just to set this up for you a little bit, we actually camped along the shore of a small lake that was about 6-7 miles outside of a town where we were doing ministry. And so I actually just set up and did the podcast right there on the shore of this lake. So you might hear some sounds in the background, the wind or birds singing or something. That's because I was doing that outside. And just, I will share some of my first impressions of Russia because this was my first trip to Russia, as well as talk a little bit about what we were doing there, about our ministry there. We did a seminar with those people who were in our camp that came from the church, as well as we did outreach in the town 5 days that we were there. And it was an amazing experience. But let's go over to that now, and you can hear from me along the shore of a lake there in Russia as I describe what happened. I am in Russia right now. Of course, you'll be hearing this a little bit later because I don't really have good internet access here, so I'll be posting it later. But today is July the 12th, and I know that a lot of you have been praying for this trip to Russia and want to thank you for that. And I thought it would be good on this episode just to give you some of my first impressions of being in Russia. This is my first trip to Russia, and I've wanted to go to Russia for a long time. I've lived in Odessa, Ukraine for 6 years, so learned Russian, speak Russian, but I'd never been to Russia before, and this is my first time. And, you know, there's a lot of differences between Russia and Ukraine. I know a lot of people don't even realize that those are two different countries, but they are. And so I brought with me four Ukrainians and one Moldovan, and they also noticed a lot of the differences. And well, first of all, when we crossed the border, you know, I was a little bit, I guess you could say, worried crossing the border. I know that the Russian border patrol is a lot more strict than the Ukrainian. And we got to the border. We were driving in our car with six people in our car. And actually, I was surprised that the Ukrainian border patrol was actually asked a lot more questions. They asked if it was a religious trip. They searched our bags and things. And then when we got to the Russian side of the border, they were a lot more relaxed. And I was kind of surprised at that. They were more relaxed, although they did hint at giving a bribe to them, but we're not bringing anything illegal into the country or doing anything like that. Everything is good, so there's no reason for us to give a bribe, but definitely hinted to me to give a bribe and also to one of the passengers, but we didn't, and we got through just fine, no problems. And one of the first things that we notice is the Russian roads, the main Russian roads, are better than Ukrainian roads. In general, they are better than Ukrainian roads. And we didn't have really much of any problem with the roads. There were a few small, short areas where they had bad roads. We had to slow down to 25, 20 miles an hour. But most of the time, we were going 50, 60, 65 miles an hour. And of course, having a Ukrainian license plate meant, well, I think probably because of that, we got stopped a few more times. We got stopped 3 times by the police on our way here. But the first time, you know, they just said, hey, just checking documents. They checked all of our passports. Everything was good. Let us go. Second time they stopped us, and it was because I'd been driving in the left lane, the 4-lane highway. Been driving in the left lane, and the right lane was empty, so he said I should be driving in the right lane. But I said, well, the road was really bad on the right side of the right lane. So I said, well, I wasn't driving there because the road was bad. So he just let me go. And the third time we got stopped was because they have video cameras set up on the roads, and they had videoed us, and one of our passengers did not have a seatbelt on. So they stopped us for that. So, you know, hey, that's a good law to have, actually, seatbelt law. So praise the Lord, we got safely to Perm, Russia, which is about, let's see, 2,200 kilometers from Kharkov, where our team started. For me, I drove from Odessa, which is about 3,000 kilometers. Which, let's see, in miles, I don't know if I do that in my head. I suppose that's around 2,000 miles, about 2,000 miles one way. Which means that I spent over 40 hours in the van on the way here. That's a lot of hours in the van. But, boy, am I glad that God gave me the opportunity to come here. So, Perm, Russia is about 900, maybe almost 1,000 miles east of Moscow, and we rolled in about just before 11 p.m. on Saturday night. It was still light out. Of course, this time of year, it's light till 12:30, till 12:30 a.m. And rolled in. Our team spent the night in a small church outside of Perm, Russia, and in the morning, I was at two church services. And one of the other things that we noticed here is there are far fewer churches than we have in Ukraine. And so Perm, a city of about 1 million, has just, I think, 3 or 4 churches in it. But the plan was actually not to do our evangelism right in Perm, but we, Sunday evening, traveled about 100 miles west of Perm, Russia, near a town called Vyshagina. Now, Vyshagina does not have any churches in it. Well, it has has a Orthodox church, and also something they call the old Orthodox church. But it does not really have any Protestant churches in it. So last year, the church from Perm came out, did evangelism in this town. It's a town of about 23,000 people. So it's a decent-sized town. This year they wanted to come and do the same thing. So we're camping here on the shore of a small lake that's about 6 or 7 miles out of town. And then every day we go into town around 3 o'clock, and you know, we just talk with people. I've been working with one of our Ukrainian team members, and we'll go to the school where the youth play sports and just talk with them, play sports with them, ask them, you know, hey, have you ever heard about God? And it's interesting. It's interesting the answers that they give here. I would say with the people that we talk to, about 78, probably 80% at least, they would say, yeah, I believe in God. But then when you ask them any kind of details, they have no idea. They have no idea. You ask them, who's Jesus? Well, I don't know. They might say, oh, he's a savior or something like that. But they don't have any idea. Why? Because in the Orthodox Church, generally speaking, they're not encouraged to read the Bible. In fact, I talked to one lady, and she said, oh, I'm Orthodox. And I said, okay, so do you read the Bible? She said, oh, I tried once, and there's nothing that I could understand. And that's generally the opinion here, is that the regular person shouldn't read the Bible. That is the job of the priest, and the regular person just needs to go to church. And, of course, they go to church here. Usually, most people who consider themselves Orthodox, they would go to church on the holidays. So maybe 4 times a year, maybe less, maybe more, but a handful of times a year, go to church, don't understand anything, go home. And other than that, of course, here a big problem is drinking. Alcoholism is a huge problem. Yet they would still consider themselves Orthodox, even though they might drink vodka every day and rarely go to church and never read the Bible. And half of what we're doing here is the evangelism part, sharing our faith with people in the town. And the other half is in the mornings we are conducting an evangelism seminar for the church members that came from Perm. So it just really works out well for them, because in the mornings we talk about how to share our faith. We talk about how to communicate the gospel, how to know what a person understands about the Bible, and then be able to meet them on the correct area so that we can effectively communicate the gospel to them. And then in the afternoons we go and we practice that. And praise the Lord that there have been several people who have been very open to the gospel. Of course, a lot of people aren't. We even had a situation where the police came up, kind of questioned us, wanted to know what we're doing. And that's another one of the differences that we noticed here, is that there is definitely a heavier police presence. And there are more laws concerning what you can and can't do. Now, we did everything legal here. As much as we could, we tried to just completely follow the law, because otherwise we would not be able to do evangelism here. And one of the laws, I'm not sure how old it is, but one of the newer laws, I think maybe it's just a year or two old here in Russia, is you cannot evangelize or teach any kind of religious teaching to anyone who is 14 years old or under, unless you have the explicit written consent of the parents. And that was a little bit of a hard thing to deal with. Of course, we are abiding by that law. And so, like in the park, what we would do is we would set up, do some games for the kids, and do a Bible lesson for them. And some of the kids, their parents would be there, and they could sign the consent form that we could teach their kids a Bible lesson. But some of the kids, their parents weren't there, and we had to gather them, and we had to tell them to leave.
because otherwise we could be fined, or at worst we could even be put in jail for teaching children who are under 14. So we had to be a little bit careful with that. But you know, it was kind of interesting the fact that we told those kids who didn't have the permission of their parents that they had to leave, I think in a way made them more interested in what we were talking about. And so the next day they came back with the permission, and we were able to do the Bible story for those kids as well. But you know, I want to go back to what I was talking about before, as far as many of these people that I've talked to here, they say they believe in God, but yet they don't read the Bible. They have very, very little knowledge, biblical knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And because of it, you know, they're walking in darkness. And it reminds me of something that Peter wrote about in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says in verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And I have just been amazed to see how when you simply start to share just simple scriptures with people who say they believe in God, yet they have never read those scriptures. And all of a sudden, it's just like this light starts to turn on. And they say, "Wow, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've never thought about that before." And it's just amazing to me how scriptures, just simple scriptures, we can just take them and it will turn a light on in people's hearts. And the more I thought about that, I thought about, well, you know, American culture as well. And how oftentimes, even in American culture, we have people, and sometimes we ourselves are guilty of that, that we can call ourselves Christians. We can maybe outwardly kind of adhere to some of the standards and yet not read and study the Bible for ourselves. And Peter says, heed that prophetic word, that scripture that he's talking about, because it is that word through which God works, through which the Holy Spirit works, to turn the light on in our hearts. And to me, it is so plain to see the difference between those people who have actually grasped the word and that light has turned on in their hearts, and those people who say, "Oh, no, I don't want to read the Bible because that's something that only the priest should do," and those people who are still walking in darkness. Dear friends, we ourselves need to make sure we are walking in the light of the Word of God. And I think it's helpful for us to ask ourselves that same question. Are we heeding that word personally? Are we really reading it for ourselves and asking God how we can change our own lives, how He can change our hearts? And I think that when we do that, there will be a desire that builds up in our own hearts to share that light, that joy, that peace with others around us. So, friends, I want to ask you today if you would please pray for the town of Vidishagina. Pray that God will work in the hearts of even a few people to start a small group, a church that can then continue to witness in that town. Because really, people are walking in darkness there. One of the young men that some guys in our group talked with yesterday was very open to the gospel. And he told a very sad story. He said, a little over a month ago, his wife hung herself. Although, in general, they didn't have a lot of problems. They had money, they had a place to live. but something wasn't right. Something caused her to go into depression. Something caused her to lose hope. And, you know, it's the same thing that I share I've shared with several of the people here I've talked to, that they ask, you know, what is it like in America? And I say, well, you know, it might be easier to find a job. It might be easier. The standard of living might be higher. But all of that doesn't matter if a person is left without God. Because without God, they're in darkness. Without God, they are without hope. So anyway, one of our team members had a chance to share with this young man the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And we talked with him for probably an hour or so. So please pray for the town of Itashagina. I will put up some photos and put a link to them in in the notes for this podcast. And you can take a look at that, as well as a little description of what we did this week here in Russia. All right, friends. Once again, thank you for your prayers and for your support. Check out sukofamily.org for updates on the blog. And until next time, God bless.